We are up to the eighth attribute, Yichbosh Avonoteinu, that God holds down our sins. Hara Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitnegem Yisrael B'midah Zo. Remember, we're learning a work that describes God's 13 attributes of mercy and how we can emulate them, how we can apply them in our own lives. So Hashem behaves with Israel with this attribute, Vehi Sod Kvishat Avon. That's the secret of holding down, retaining sin. Kihine. What's the idea here? It's as follows. Hamitzvah yichiforachat aletan nitzah uvokat veola ad en tachlit likanes lefanav yitbarach. When one does a mitzvah, so it sprouts and it grows and it keeps growing till it comes before him, blessed be he. Omnam bat ha'avonot en lehem knisah chas v'shalom ela kovesham shelo yikanzu. Hashem, so to speak, says, no entrance. The sins aren't welcome here. Kedichtiv, as the verse says, lo yegucha ra, lo yegu bimgucha ra. God, so to speak, says, I don't want any evil in my presence. Imken en havon nichnas pnima. So then Hashem says, so to speak, your mitzvah keeps growing and it stands before me. Your sins, I'm not interested in having them in my presence, so to speak. Umitam zeh schar mitzvah ba'ayal maleka mipnei shehem lefanav yitbarach ve'chiten lo mima shelefanav שכר רוחני בעולם גשמי. והרי כל העולם אינו כדאי למצווה אחת ולקורת רוח אשר לפניו. And now he says a deep philosophical concept. At first glance it doesn't seem to make sense, but let it settle a little bit. He says, this is the logic behind what the Talmud teaches us, that you will not find the merits, the rewards for the merits, for the meritorious acts that you do in this world. A person who does a good deed, so he might have the fruits of that good deed, but the real reward that's waiting for that good deed is not going to appear in this world. And the logic behind it, he says, is because if a mitzvah is so great that it affects even in the spiritual world, it, so to speak, comes even before the Creator, so then Hashem says the reward for it has to be on a totally different plane, not on the plane of the physical world that we live in. So first of all, it's a machlokas, two opinions in the Gemara, whether you see reward in this world at all for the good deeds you do or not. So that's two opinions in the Talmud. But going with that opinion, he says, it's because of the greatness of a mitzvah that it doesn't belong in this world. Now you can ask many questions on that. But for now, let's just hold it, think about it, and we can come back to it. This Thursday, I don't know if we have a late night. I don't know. What they ask for a list then? I don't know. Umitam ze lo yikach shochat shel mitzvot. And here again, he is dealing with one of the most difficult questions in all of human philosophy, which is how come good people suffer? And even if you'll try to answer, one of the answers that Job's friends try to answer him, they say, well, maybe you did something minuscule, maybe you did something minor that you deserve for that, you deserve the punishment. Or other answers that the Talmud tells us, one of the questions that one could ask is, okay, let me cash in my merits. A person who's a tzaddik would say, let me cash in some of my merits, but not suffer in this world. So why doesn't that work? Why can't a person just say, okay, let my faults cancel out some of my merits? Says Rav Moshe Cordoviro, the idea is what we've just started explaining. Hamashal b'ze, en HaKadosh Baruch Hu omer, asa 40 mitzvot ve'esar averot, nisharu 30 mitzvot ve'elchu 10 be'esar. God does not say, okay, he did 40 mitzvot, he did 10 sins, we'll cancel out 10 against 10, and he's left with 30. Chas v'shalom, ela afilu tzadik gamur v'asa avera achat, tome lefanav kilu sarafta torahat, she'iratze chovo. Hashem says, if a person did even one thing wrong, Hashem says, I consider it with great weight, until a person, so to speak, fills his debt. And then I will pay him back for everything he did right. So you'll ask why. I'll tell you what it's similar to. It's one of the questions I get often as a moel. Parents ask me, can you give an anesthetic to the kid? So the answer is yes, you can. But is it better for the kid? No. Because the knife we use is so sharp, and the anesthetics that's used has such a high rate of an allergic reaction that at first glance, as a parent, you say, hey, give him an anesthetic. But at second glance, if you realize what that anesthetic does to many children, and it's not one in a million, it's pretty common that children have an allergic reaction to that, so then you say, okay, did I really help him? There are children that almost don't cry at a bris. They cry more. I tell parents, if you pay attention to the child's crying at the diaper change, you'll see he cries more when you change his diaper than when I do the bris. And every parent that took the time to do the homework agreed that was true. And I have some chutzpahdik parents. If they didn't think it was true, they would say so. But no, they meant, you'd be surprised. They're willing to argue about other things, but the baby's crying, actually, you see. But sometimes, when we look at something, so the fear of something, or the pain of something, makes us apply disproportionate weight to things. And you'll find that there are many things like that in your life. Sometimes a person's scared of a root canal, and he could spend a month worried about that root canal. When he actually sits down and has the root canal done, it's not the end of the world. And every person can think in their lifetime, sometimes there was a test, sometimes there are moments that pressure us, and the fear of the moment is disproportionate. And he's saying over here that that's really what happens in this world, that people would say, I'd much rather cash in. You have a kid who tells his father, I know I only have this much money in my piggy bank, I want to spend it now on that gumball. Okay, if the father knows what's good for the kid, he's going to say, hold off. Right now, he has that. You could take an example from modern times. A person has an investment, and he sees the market crashing. So what would he want to do? I remember I spoke to a friend when the market crashed in 2008. And he said to me, his firm lost, I don't remember if it was 500 million or 5 billion. I don't remember what was the number. You know, when you get to big numbers, I don't know the difference anymore. Like, it's beyond me. And he said, the key is not to go jump out the window, to wait, because what goes down will go back up. So even though the market's down, the key is not to sell at a loss. Hold on to what you have, and over time, and you see today, the market's basically where it was. So sometimes there are moments where a person feels like, this is terrible. I have to get out of this. But that doesn't mean that in the long run, that's really his best interest. There are short-term feelings, and in the long run, sometimes the perspective of the long run is the true perspective. So he says over here, the sahal, the wages of the mitzvos, are on a totally different plane than the wages for the averos, for a person's sin. Being that the wages for the mitzvos are on such a higher plane, whereas the averos, a person's sin, they're on a different level. Being that they're on two totally different planes, it's not like saying, let's take off one and take off the other. But Hashem says, I'm going to take what he owes me for the sins, and I'm going to give him everything I owe him for his mitzvos. Now here's the idea that Hashem says, when it comes to sin, Hashem limits the capacity of sin to impact. Hashem does not let the sin just keep flourishing as the mitzvah does. Hashem limits them. You do a mitzvah and Hashem lets it flourish. And the truth is, if we think about it, every action we do has a lot of potential. We were sitting at a Shabbos table, and one guy made fun of another guy. So it happened once, it happened twice, then I asked him to stop making fun of him. He made fun of me and continued making fun of the guy. That was a new guy in the school. I didn't see him Sunday. I don't know why he didn't show Sunday. He didn't show Monday either. Today's already Tuesday. So it could be his making cracks at the other guy's expense. At some point the guy said, I'm not doing this. So now he didn't just affect him at that Shabbos table by making fun of him. He made a joke, innocent, right? Only it was at someone's expense. I don't know what long-term effect it had. I don't know. Remains to be told. But you can imagine that if that person, because of that, dropped out of the system, dropped out of the whole life program he was in the process of setting up, well, then the impact is huge. And things like that happen in life. And there are many examples to that, where we sometimes we do actions and the impact is very, very long term. I remember about 20 years ago, I was just a teenager. There was a kid I was tutoring, and the parents came and asked me which school to send the kid to. So, till today, every Yom Kippur, I ask myself, did I give them the right advice? Because I know that the advice I gave them then, even as a teenager, affected their decision and affected the way all their kids turned out afterwards. Was I right? Was I wrong? But the impact of what I did, well, still today, 20 years later, 2 decades later. So, there's a certain blessing that Hashem says, Hashem, so to speak, puts a cap on the impact of the things we do wrong, even though the things we do right, imagine you get a kid into school, you get a kid into the right school, sometimes you say what's right, so then the effect is limitless. And theoretically, it should go both ways. Meaning, logically, each one should have capacity to flourish. There's no reason one should flourish and the other shouldn't. We're taught that on some level, Hashem says, I put limits to the bad. I make limits to how far an evil action will go. So, even though Hashem keeps an eye on what we do, Hashem says there are things that I let flourish to the point where they come before me, but the sins I limit, they shouldn't reach a point where they come before me, so to speak. So this is also a trait that a person should adopt. How do people ordinarily behave? You did something wrong to me 3 years ago, I still remember it. You did something right for me yesterday and the day before and the day before, we forget it. Think about how many times kids come with complaints to their parents. And I remember, you didn't get me a bicycle, you got my brother, you didn't get me. And I remember, we have a million things which we come with complaints to our parents. What about what they did right? That's a given. And that's the way we all behave. We tend to forget anything good. Once our roommate turned on the light and woke us, that's it. That we remember. But all the times that he helped us out and did other things that were nice and kind to us, that's like a given. We forget it. So we are supposed to learn from Hashem. Hashem says, I limit what you do wrong and I keep focused on what you do right. Just as God says, I'm not interested in what's wrong, I'm interested in what's right. So to speak, Hashem says, I leave that for my angels, I leave that, so to speak, out of my private domain. I'm not interested in evil entering my domain. So too, a person's supposed to be that type of positive person, where he looks at what's right. A person should be able to mention to him and tell him, look at what good you did for me and how nice you are to me. And a person shouldn't say, well, okay, he was nice, but he was also evil. He was good, but he was also bad. And every one of us knows that with regards to parents, it's that way. You come to Rosh Hashanah, you want to wish your parents a good year, you want to ask them for forgiveness, and you feel like, but there are so many things they could ask me for forgiveness. You come to your friends, a person's married, a person very easily has a long list of things that he could tell his wife should have done or did wrong. And a person says, yeah, she's good, but she's bad. She's kind, but she's forgetful, or she's not as considerate as other people, or as I would want her to be. Every person, if we want to look at things that way, you could look at everything that way. You could look to your boss that way. You could look to your worker that way. Your spouse, your children, your siblings. Every relationship has both. And it's a question of what we focus on. And look at how a person pays taxes. Some people pay taxes and say, what a decrepit country this is. I pay taxes and look what they do for me. I barely have place for to park my car. The streets always have potholes. There are so many problems with this city. What am I paying taxes for? Then you have a person who says, I'm paying taxes, and look at how wonderful things are. Look at how beautifully they're developing things. It's not perfect. We all know it's not perfect. But the question is, what do I look at?
I have a question regarding that.
I am with you.
What if there are certain things negative things that you really can't ignore?
Such as?
such as, I don't want to get too political right now, but you know, like there's certain in America specifically, we'll talk about there. You know, if you're paying taxes to the Americans, there's a lot of corruption that goes on, and if you and by the corruption has to a high degree is economical. So if you don't want to like if you have a problem by you know, not because you have to pay taxes to, you know, the country you live in, but you know that if the taxes are not necessarily complaining like, oh, they're not going to me, but they're going to this corrupt system, which is, you know, which has a very negative impact around the world, possibly, you know, like how can you ignore that? Like, how, you know, like, how can you see only positive if such a thing is going on?
I think the question is what we focus on.
But if you focus, like, if putting an end to this corruption or something, or the fact that there is this corruption going on, actually really means a lot to you, you know, like, it would be hard to ignore that and only focus on, like, on the new traffic lights that they installed and everything in the neighborhood.
I don't think he's saying we should ignore what's wrong. I'm saying if you can fix what's wrong, fix what's wrong. But all too often we don't give proper weight to what's right. Very often people say there's so much corruption in the government, it's not worth a thing. It's not true. It's worth a lot. You have a running country. You're benefiting. The whole world is benefiting from what's right about that country. So I agree. There are problems. No one's saying there aren't problems. Yeah, there are big problems, and there's corruption and a lot of real issues. If you can fix them. But when you look at the system as a whole, I think what he's teaching us is to focus on what's right. And as big as there are things that are wrong and they're big, I think if you only take the time to think about it, what's right is much bigger. 70, 80, maybe even 90% is right. Think about it. The social system, you have a welfare system, Social Security, you have Medicare, Medicaid, you have a government that protects its citizens, you have a legal system. I understand there's corruption in every one of those things, but in the big picture is doing a lot of good. Food stamps, I mean, the amount of chesed, the amount of good and kindness that country is doing is phenomenal. There's no... here in Israel, we buy our M16s from the United States for $1. That's also a chesed. So you could say they have their interest and they want to control us and they want a stable country in the Middle East. But at the end of the day, they're still doing something good for us. So, okay.
Only $1?
Yeah. $1. Really, they would give it for free. But it looks better that we pay something for it, so we pay $1 for it. Well... it's on loan, it's some kind of deal. It's only on loan for about 25 years already, but okay. לא יעשה כן, אלא ברעי יתרצה כל דרך יצאו שיוכל, ותבע לי אזנך לעולם מבין עיניו. So a person should find ways of coming to terms with what's wrong and remaining focused on what's right. ויעלים אינו מן הרעה כל מה שיוכל, כדרך שהקדוש ברוך הוא כובש הבנות כדפרשתי. So a person should find ways to overlook what's wrong and focus on what's right, just as Hashem finds ways to limit what's bad and, so to speak, to overlook what's wrong to whatever degree. Obviously, there is a judgment day, but on some level, Hashem says, I prefer focusing on what's right.